friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. Any favorites out there? Arlen?
Number one.
Yes, sir. Only one. Majesty, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be our glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Amen. Anyone else have a favorite? Want to sing? 697. My heart fairer than day. See it afar. I was on the wrong page. Where the Father waits over the way to prepare our dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen. Amen. Amen.
How about the next page?
698. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toys of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. 639.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take up at His promise, don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Amen. Amen. One more and we'll have our offering. Brother Romel, would you help us? Thank you. Four thirty. We all know that one. Amen.
I heard an old old story, how our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Brother Ramel. Yes. Amen.
You did?
Yes, bronchitis. And
yeah.
And she's got pneumonia.
I know it. She's real sick.
She's not doing very well.
She wears one of these things, a mask over her face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put her in the bathroom coughing and chewing coughing before she's just coughing.
Very serious.
They're both on a new medication. I want to say antibiotic, that's not the one to use, but a new medicine. He's hoping that helps hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not announce this morning that we would be having a birthday and anniversary celebration tonight after the evening service. So you look out here, not too many people came. But see, that you got it right there, see? I'm learning here. If you don't announce it, they don't know that all of that cake and ice cream and all that good stuff's out there. But did you notice, though, that Molly never misses a second Sunday night? Amen. I like that. She knows what happens here, don't you, girl? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I missed them this morning. Yeah. That's right, yeah. When he was in the hospital over this.
And, you know, he was taking pills and they were coming out whole, so they've got a pill pressure now.
My
to
goodness.
Crush up his medication.
Yeah.
It was for his heart medicine. So,
wow.
Yeah, so he's really having a hard time.
Yeah. Yep. We got a lot of people to pray for. And I'll tell you something. We have a prayer warrior in our church. Wayne Fox has a lot of time to pray. He can't walk. He can't see. He can't hear. Unless he's got his earphones, he hears our sermons. Whenever I preach, you hear it once. When I preach, he hears it at least three times. So those discs that we make back there really come in handy. We're going to talk tonight about Tracts of the Trinity. I think I've used that title before, but I said, well, you can't wear it out. But let's go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I think of that scripture, Paul said it, that the natural man, he does not receive the things of God, does he? Natural man. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And sometimes, like what I'm going to preach tonight, it's spiritually discerned. In other words, to get anything out of this message, it's going to be spiritually discerned. Let's begin reading here and set the stage for our message. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, who's the Word?
Jesus.
That's right. Absolutely. He's the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. But wait, I thought he began to exist when he was born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger? Oh, no. No, he was in the beginning with God, wasn't he? He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Go back and reread Genesis chapter 1 and see Jesus in there creating all these things. You thought it was God. Hey, Jesus is God. He was God then. He is God today. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Well, that's where you need light, isn't it? In the darkness. If it's light, you don't need the light. It's in the darkness that you need the light. The light shineth in darkness. But what happened? The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Remember him? He was a miracle child too, wasn't he? The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then verse 14, and the Word, this goes back to verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God is light. I'm not a scientist, but I'm going to give you some scientific information. Light, I found out, thank God for computers. Thank God for Google. Light is a sphere of seven colors. Did you know that? Light is composed of seven colors. If I had had them, I would have taken a box of crayons and marked out here, I'd get a red one and a green one and a blue one and mark it all over there and see if it would light up. But I don't think it would, but, you know, experiments. That's what gave us electricity in the first place. The seven colors merged together make light. Here's something else. And you can say amen to this, Nancy, if you want to. There are seven whole notes in a musical scale. The eighth begins a new octave, right? It starts off with do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, and the eighth, do. Start over again. There you go. Now, the seven colors that make up light correspond to the seven notes in the musical scale. So that colors that harmonize, you know, my wife used to say to me, take off that tie, it doesn't match your suit. It wasn't the tie that didn't match the suit, it was the color of the tie and the color of the suit, you know, red, green, yellow, mixing your colors. Some colors go together. They call it harmony. They harmonize. Colors do. And sounds are the same way. A discord in color corresponds to a discord in light. Light. That's what we're talking about. He's talking about here. The light shineth. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, verse 8 says. The light. I did a little further investigation. Light is composed of three rays. There's your Trinity. We're talking about tracks of the Trinity. Three rays. First is the actinic ray. Now see, you came to church tonight not knowing you were going to learn something. But you are. Actinic, A-C-T-I-N-I-C. Actinic rays are the property of the sun's rays. When the sun's shining down, there are actinic rays which produce chemical action. These actinic rays are not seen and they are not felt. This is the light that affects photographic film and the light that you have in your marine aquarium. Actinic rays. Second are the luminiferous. I can't even say it. Luminiferous rays. Luminiferous rays of light that are emitted or transmitted light. These rays are the light you see. You can see with your eyes the light that they produce. They illuminate. When we flip that switch back there and these lights come on, what do? They illuminate. What rays of light illuminate? That's your luminiferous rays. And then there's a third group of rays that come from the light. Calorific, C-A-L-O-R-I-F-I-C, calorific rays. Calorific rays are the heating rays of light. You get out in the sun out there and, whew, boy, it's hot today, isn't it, Mark? It's hot. Why is it hot? Because it's not the luminiferous rays that's making you hot. It's the calorific rays of the sun that are making you hot. And they are not seen, but they are felt. Let me give you a personal experience. Back when I was younger, let's see, it was on a Monday, the 13th of January. January, we think of January as being cold. Monday, the 13th of January, 1946. That's over 69 years ago. The ship that I was in was down at the Panama Canal on the Pacific side. And that was the day that we went through the Panama Canal. I'd never been there before, had never seen it, seen pictures of it. But I was a storekeeper and I didn't have anything to do insofar as my work was concerned. So, guess what? I'd been over in the South Pacific over there for about a year and coming back down here. Panama Canal is down there close to the equator. And even though it was January, it wasn't no icicles around on anything. It was quite warm. And it was a beautiful day, and I was curious about how we were going to get up that mountain and over to the other side of that canal and go down into the Atlantic Ocean. I was curious. So I stayed out on deck all day that day. There weren't any clothing regulations or anything like that, so all I had on was a pair of dungarees, bearing my manly chest, you know, and all of that to the elements out here. So we're going through that Panama Canal. And the sun was not shining down. If that sun had been shining down, now, I was born in country. I know what the sun does. I know what sunburn is, and I didn't want to get a sunburn. But it was hazy. It was kind of like San Diego of a morning when you get up, sun's shining, but it's not coming through. The light's not coming through the fog, smog, or whatever it is. So I'm out here and say, I'm perfectly safe because the sun can't shine on me. It's hazy. I didn't know at that time what I know now, that the sun rays have calorific rays. And those calorific rays, Man, they can come down through the heaviest fog there is. It doesn't bother it a bit. And I stayed out there, and by the time we got over to the Atlantic side, I was as red as a cherry. Now, when was it? This was on January the 13th. And when we hit the Atlantic Ocean over there, we went full steam due north. And the further north we went, the colder it got. And by the time we pulled into Philadelphia Navy Base up there, I'll tell you that temperature was probably down below zero. And I had one of the awfulest sunburns that I ever had in my life. I didn't have a hat on or anything. I was burned. And I found out that it was those calorific rays that did the damage. So I learned a little bit about light. Those luminiferous rays weren't coming through. You couldn't even see the sun. But the calorific rays were coming right down through that. Now, with that in mind, I want you to consider the God light. God is light. God is Trinity. He emits actinic rays. Those actinic rays represent God the Father, because He is the source of all power and of all authority, but you can't see Him and you can't feel Him. In fact, we're told here in verse 18 of John 1, no man hath seen God at any time. No man has seen God, that's God the Father, at any time. Why? Because He is the actinic rays of that light, which are not seen. Consider the luminiferous rays of this God light. God said, I'm the light of the world. That's the ones that produce light that is visible. Light that illuminates, that shines, that dispels and drives away the darkness. Well, who would that be but God the Son? Because He is the one who is visible. This is God manifest in the flesh, revealing God to us. Do you remember the time when the Apostle Paul, while he was still Saul of Tarsus, decided he was going down to Damascus and he was going to wreak havoc with that church that was in Damascus? He's going to arrest all of those people that were attending church there and bring them all the way down to Jerusalem for trial. He is going to testify against them and perhaps even put them to death. So it's noonday. Over in Syria, you know what that country's like. You've seen enough of it on television to know that it's kind of hot over there in the summertime. He's on his way to Damascus. It's noontime, right when the sun is right up over his head. And all of a sudden there's a light that appears to him that is brighter than the noonday sun. Brighter than the noonday sun. It was so bright. The light from it impressed, it burned his eyes to where he was blind. God had to send Ananias over there to lay his hands on him to give him his sight back later on. He was blind, had to be led into town. What was that light? Who art thou, Lord? What did the voice from the light say? I am Jesus. So he's that luminiferous ray of God, of that God light. Later on, Jesus will say, when one of his disciples says, show us the Father and it'll suffice us. He said to him, Philip, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and the Father are one. So can you see where Jesus is now the luminiferous ray of light here? And then the calorific, that invisible one, the one that gives the sunburn, when you can't see it, but you can feel it, the Holy Spirit of God is that calorific ray of that God light. See, it's His presence is not seen, but it's felt. You know He's there. Now, our Godhead is composed of a Trinity, three persons. Our Articles of Faith explains it this way: in the unity of the Godhead, there are three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, equal in every divine perfection and executing distinct but harmonious offices in the great work of redemption. We have a lot of people don't understand the Trinity. They say, oh, you have three gods. No, we don't. We have one God. But there's three persons in the Godhead. Now, here's something else. Where do we see those? Let's get a scripture. Jesus leaves Galilee, goes down to the Jordan River, where his cousin John the Baptist is baptizing. And he says, John, I want you to baptize me. John said, no, I need to be baptized of you. He said, you do it, John. And so John did. They waded out into the waters of the Jordan River, where it was about waist deep. And John baptized Jesus. And when he raised him up out of the water, he baptized him by immersion, by the way. Those pictures that you see in the children's books of Jesus taking a cup and pouring it on top, or John taking a cup of water and pouring it on his head, that's not scriptural. That's not the way he did it at all. Anyway, Jesus and John come out of the river there, and they're standing there dripping wet. There's the Son. Jesus is the Son. And all of a sudden, they hear a voice coming down from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's God the Father. And then what happened? Here comes a dove, and it lights upon Jesus, and it abides upon him. And that dove is the Holy Spirit. So you've got the Trinity right there at the baptism of Jesus. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Mankind, human beings, that's us, were created in the likeness of and in the image of God. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us, that's more than one, isn't it? That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And the way that he did it is there in chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's his body. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. See the Trinity here. You've got the body made out of the dust. You've got the breath of God in him, which is his life, the spirit of life. And then you have a living soul, body, soul, and spirit. Man is a Trinity, made like God. All right, let's consider this human body that God has now in front of him. It's composed of, and yours the same way, flesh, blood, and bone. Three elements. That's a trinity, isn't it? Flesh, blood, and bone. When the body dies, it goes back to the dirt from where it came to sleep in the dust of obscurity until the trumpet sounds. But look at the planet Earth that God made. It's made out of dirt. It is land, whatever you want to call it. That's the dirt part of Earth is the land. Well, you go down here a little ways and you find another part of this Earth, and that is water. It's the Pacific Ocean, and there's more water than there is land. Now, the sea, the land, the sea, that's all the oceans and lakes and rivers and things. And what's the third one? Air. That's what we breathe, isn't it? That's what everything else is. So you've got the water, the dirt, and the air. And that's the planet Earth. All right, let's think about the water for a moment. There's three forms of water. Check this out when you get home. Open your freezer and look in there. You got chunks of ice. That's the frozen part of water in its frozen form. Ice. You take the ice out and melt it, you've got a liquid. You put it in a pan, put it on the fire, and turn the fire on underneath it, and it changes into steam. So there you've got water is a trinity. Think about animal life. We've got the sea, we've got the air, we've got the earth. In the sea, we have fishes. Here's what the Bible says. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly and filled the waters of the sea. There's your fishes that live in the sea. In the air, we have birds. What's the Bible say? God created winged fowl that fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Sea for the fishes, air for the birds, and on the land we have a beast. Listen, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth. That's all the way from your worms to your dinosaurs. Everything that lives on the earth. Again, a trinity. Think about our bodies. Our bodies reproduce and they make other bodies. And they all come fully equipped with a body, a soul, and a spirit all at one time. You don't go to the hospital and get a body and then go back next week and get a spirit and then go back the next week and get a soul. They come in one package, small but sometimes loud. The body. The most insignificant part of our trinity is our body. But it seems to take precedence and exert preeminence over the soul and the spirit for some reason or other. Most lives. It gets the most attention, doesn't it? We see that it's fed, nourished, clothed and manicured, pampered and spoiled. It gets haircuts and hairdos. It's exercised and indulged. It's decorated and adorned with jewelry and rings and things like that. And when it's hungry, it is fed. When it's dirty, it's washed. When it gets weak and sickly, we take it to the doctor, and the doctor gives us medicine or an operation on the body. But regardless of the meticulous care that the body received, it eventually grows old and dies. It perishes. And when the life leaves the body, the body is useless unless you're a medical student and you want to take it into the lab, and cut it up, and look at all the different parts of it. We take it out, and we cremate it, or we bury it, and we dispose of it. And we say sometimes that if I'd known I would live so long, I would have taken better care of myself. So when the body dies, it's disposed of. We think of the body as being temporal, don't we? But it's not. It is just as eternal as the spirit and the soul. True, we bury it out here, but there is a resurrection coming. And what's involved in the resurrection but the body of man? Both of the just and the unjust, the Bible says. Now, strange thing about this religion called Christianity. Because Christians hold the belief that one day the same body that we are living in today will live again. Even after it has decayed and returned to the dust from whence it came, it will live again. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise from the dead in the first resurrection. And the living saints shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And we shall all be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's called the rapture of the saints. Now the Bible teaches that our bodies will be raised from the dead and reassembled into a new body that is likened to the new body that Jesus had when he came out of the grave where he'd been buried on the third day. Now, our new body will never feel pain. It will not know sickness nor infirmity of any kind. It'll never get tired, will not grow weak. That is, if the person who inhabits it was saved when they die. That's the catch. They got to be saved. Now, with the unsaved, it's a different story. The Bible teaches us that their body will suffer everlasting pain, punishment, and torment in hell. It's going to be kind of like a bush that we read about over in the book of Exodus. Moses is out here herding his father-in-law's flock of sheep, and he sees a strange sight over there close to Mount Sinai. There's a bush over there that is on fire. It is burning. It is blazing up like a house on fire. But it is not being consumed in the fire, not being burned up. He looks at it for a minute and said, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And he goes a little bit closer over there, and when he gets over there pretty close to it, he hears a voice speaking to him out of that burning bush. Moses, pull off your shoes. You're on holy ground. That was God speaking to him out of the burning bush. But that bush this is the point I want to make, was burning and burning and burning, but it was not being burned up. It was not being consumed. So here's the soul of a man who rejected Christ as his personal Savior. He's in the fiery pits of hell. It's hot down there. You'd think it would burn him up to a crisp in just a moment, but it doesn't. It's like the fire that was in the bush. It burns his body, and his body is not consumed. We could give you another illustration about the three Hebrew children. They wouldn't bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. They got thrown into a burning, fiery furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than it was supposed to be. And they were in there, and that fire did not burn them at all. When they came out, they didn't even have the smell of fire on their bodies. Now, when you and I were born, think back to that. We had no choice as to the gender we would be. When I was born, I don't know whether my mother wanted a boy or a girl. I was the firstborn, usually with the first one. It doesn't make any difference, you know. You take whatever God gives you. But after my mother had 5 boys, she was wanting a girl. But my mother had to quit at 5 boys. If she had had a choice, Charles, my baby brother, would have been a girl. That's for sure. Because she used to dress him up like a little girl. She liked him. She liked little girls so bad. And then whenever her first grandchild came along, which was our Sandy, you can imagine how spoiled she was. She was the only girl around. But anyway, when we were born, God didn't come to me and say, do you want to be a boy or girl when you get born? And personally, I don't think he came to you and asked you that when you were born. Oh, by the way, today people seem to be able to make that choice when they get grown. And you got some men that say, I'm just a female in a male body. Go find a doctor that'll give them an operation. Yeah, or vice versa. Here's something else. God didn't ask you when you were born what race you wanted to be. He didn't ask you what nationality you wanted to be. Or he didn't ask you who your parents would be. Or even whether they would be married to each other or not. About half the babies that are born today are married to a couple who are not married to one another. God didn't ask that little baby, do you want to be married to this couple that are living together and may separate tomorrow? God didn't ask if you wanted to be born into a rich family or a poor family. He didn't ask you if you wanted to be spoiled and raised in the lap of luxury, or if you would grow up in abject poverty. You had no choice. He didn't ask you what language you wanted to speak. He didn't ask you what continent you would be living on. He knew that everybody couldn't be a Texan, so he caused some people to be born somewhere else. I hate to say this, it really doesn't apply to this congregation, but there's a certain percentage of people who are just naturally born ugly. And God didn't ask you if you wanted to be pretty or if you wanted to be ugly. You just have to take what comes along. Balances things out. But what you are is exactly what God wanted you to be. Exactly. So live with it. Now, in the hereafter, when we get to heaven, we're going to be like the angels in this sense. Neither marrying nor giving in marriage. So Solomon is going to be in deep trouble, isn't he? He's not going to have 700 wives and 300 concubines to kick around. Think of that. Poor Solomon. He was spoiled, I guess. You know, we're talking about the Trinity, the body, the soul, and the spirit. If you have a body and you put a spirit in it, but it has no soul, what do you call that? That's a zombie. Any of you ever watch The Living Dead on TV? I hope you don't. That's a crazy thing. Let's talk about the spirit. The body without the spirit is dead, for the spirit is the life of the flesh. Listen, about 10 months ago, I stood there by that hospital bed when Rita was dying. I was standing right beside her, this close to her face, to her eyes. And I saw the spirit of life as it left her mortal body. I didn't see the spirit per se, but I could tell that the spirit had gone. I was looking at her eyes. The eyes are the windows of the soul, the Bible tells us. And the body without the spirit is dead. So the spirit is the life of the flesh. Jesus is hanging on the cross. One of the seven last sayings of Christ, you may remember, is this. He cried out, "It is finished." And then he spoke to God, his Father. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." His life, the spirit of life, left his body. And he gave up the ghost. But he voluntarily dismissed his spirit and sent his spirit back to the Father, into the Father's hands. Now, when the body dies, the life, the spirit, goes back to God who gave it. For God is life as well as light. And John says of him, we read it, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. But now let's consider the soul. Soul is who we are. I am not my body, nor my spirit, but my soul. Now, at the death of the body, the spirit and the soul ascend back to heaven to be with God. This verse that we use, absent from the body, present with the Lord. What is absent from the body? The soul. That's what's absent from the body. The soul leaves the body. But where is it? Present with God. How long does it get there? Take to get there? Not very long. Strange thing is that No medical doctor on earth has ever seen a soul. Why? Because, as we said, it's the invisible part of us. Now, when the Bible talks about us being dead in trespasses and in sins, what's he talking about? Our physical body? No. He's talking about our soul. When Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is born again? Nicodemus didn't know that. He's thinking about the body. Do I have to enter in again into my mother's womb and be born physically with a physical body? No, that's not it. That's the soul of man. A dead corpse has a body, but it has no feeling. You can stick it with a pin and it won't flinch. A dead corpse has ears, but it can't hear it thunder. A dead corpse has eyes, but it can't see, because the ability to hear and to see belongs to the soul of man. It's fascinating that doctors can take the unseeing eyes from a dead person and transplant them into the blinded eye sockets of a living man, and that living man can see with those dead eyes. Amazing, isn't it? They can be transplanted. That corpse has a tongue, but it can't speak. Has a nose, but it can't smell. Not even if you rub Limburger cheese on the upper lip. Can't smell, because the senses belong to the soul. The body is equipped with the apparatuses that it needs to see and to hear and to smell and taste and all of these things. But the senses belong to the soul. And that's why the pains of hell will be felt by the dead who are in torment, because that is where their soul is. They have eternal existence, but they do not have eternal life. The Trinity of man. I hope I've given you some things tonight that will cause you to think about us and about what we are and who we are and what the future holds for us. Let's stand together, please, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the things that you've shown us from your word. We thank you that we've been able for a little while here to meditate upon these things which are eternal. We get so wrapped up in these things that are temporal that we forget about eternity. But we are eternal beings, and we will exist forever, even either in heaven or in hell. And Jesus came into this world and gave his life on the cross that we might have eternal life. And he is our life. He that has the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Bless our fellowship together now, and each person that's been in this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you real good.